That's not a moon. That's a gutting station. Oh, hey, hello. Your old pal Kevin Goatee from Gutting the Sacred Cow. Here I am. New week, new episode. Fans on patrol. They've joined us this week. Montego Bradley and Tiff have decided to bring on and try and face Return of the Jedi. Oh, the final of the original Skywalker trilogy. And they have a problem with this one. So we're going to get into it. Before we do, though, patreon.com/GTSC. You know, every $5 a month gets you access to Kevin and my That Doesn't Happens, our movie reviews, you know, stuff we want to see, trailers we want to talk about, all that good stuff. You know the drill. GuttingTheSacredCow.com for merch. And, of course, keep telling your friends about us. That's the most important compliment we can get. And we love you guys for giving us an hour of your time every week. Without any more delay and shenanigans, here are the fans on patrol doing Return of the Jedi.
Gather round, here's what I know. It's just that this cow has got to go. I know some people kinda like it, yeah.
Hey man, don't I know you from somewhere? Nah man, I'm from Buffalo. Kevin Israel, name that film.
No idea.
You motherfucker, really?
Nope.
Our guests are fans of Patrol, Tiff and Bradley. I'm going to let you guys steal Family Feud style. Do you guys know where that quote is from?
Not at all.
No? Answer, Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh shit.
You know, I think you've dug a few Beverly Hills Cop quotes, and I don't think I ever get them. I think that's got to be your third in our 130-some-odd episodes.
You're not lying. Because sometimes I'm like, I watch a film, I go, this is a good one, but I forget to write it down. And then when I forget to write it down, then it's time to tape. But I go, shit. So I have to scroll through some films. I go, let's see ones I'm pretty sure I haven't used. Kevin Goatee, Kevin Israel, back. How are you, folks? And welcome to yet another fantastic edition of Gutting the Sacred Cow. This week, we are joined by Bradley and Tiff of the Fans on Patrol podcast. Gentlemen and lady, how do you do this evening?
I'm doing all right. How about you guys?
Wonderful. Happy to have you guys.
Fucking magical.
Super juice. What's up, everybody? Montego Bradley, Fans on Patrol. Mr. Button all the way up to the top. So happy to be here, fellas. Thank you so much for having us.
That is the most spirited intro I've ever heard from a guest ever, Kevin Israel. And God, I'm
more excited now.
Aren't we? Well, so if you weren't excited by that one, folks, guess what? You can't wait to hear what these two fine folks have chosen to try and gut this week. And that is the 1983 classic Return of the Jedi. Budget, $32.5 million. Box office haul, $475 million. Turn that into 2022 money. I did. 92. I got Tiff already. I'm already one for one. $92.5 million budget. $1.35 billion. Kevin Israel, that's your territory for the Marvel stuff, huh?
Yeah, that's big.
IMDb, as we all know, is a scale 1 through 10. Montego Bradley, what do you think the Return of the Jedi scored on the IMDb scale? 1 through 10 with decimal points.
7.8.
7.8. How about you, Tiff? Give me a number.
9.5.
Israel.
8.6.
8.3.
Damn.
Not bad. Critics. Rotten Tomatoes score, Rotten Tomatoes 1 through 100. We're going to start off with Tiff. Tiff, what do you think the critics gave Return of the Jedi?
82.
Kevin Israel.
89.
Montego Bradley.
78.
One of you has won two showcases and $100 out of my pocket, so come fish it out. No, it is Tiff. Tiff with 82%.
Pretty good.
Kevin Israel is going to lead off. What do you think the audience got for the score for Rotten Tomatoes? Audience, Return of the Jedi.
94.
What'd you say?
94.
Montego Bradley.
90.
And Tiff.
I was like 98.
One of you is dead nuts on, and that person is two showcases, and that is my co-host, Kevin Israel, 94%.
God damn it.
Not bad. See, Bradley, you're the only one out there with your dick in the wind. Quotes Misa Hawaki Chewbacca. That's at last we have the mighty Chewbacca in Huttese, if we recall that. Next one, I love you. I know. And of course, the meme capital of them all, it's a trap. Kevin Israel, quotes, what do you have?
I have two. It's pointless to resist, my son. And this was an addition in the Redux. We still free.
Oh shit.
Oh yeah. I noted that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Montego Bradley, any quotes jump out at you?
Your optimistic appraisal of the situation. Can't finish the quote. That was Vader in the beginning. Shit. Damn it.
Oh, he's talking to the commander.
Yeah, he says your optimistic appraisal of the situation is something, something, something. Can't repeat.
Perfect. That's not, lovely.
Brad Montego, this is not the paraphrase section. This is the quotes section.
Okay, I got it. Yeehaw! That was Lando Calrissian.
Yep, all right, fair. Sustained. How about you, Tiff? What do you have? Quotes? Anything?
I was going to say that I love you. You know, that's a great one. But my favorite quote is just Yoda grunting and rolling over to go back to sleep.
For eternity. Aww. Yeah.
He's tired, man.
900 years. You look so good after all these years. I don't.
I think he looks better than I quote. Would.
Oh.
After 900 years, look so good, you will not. Ha!
There you go. Redeeming himself.
Jesus, how embarrassing.
Five fun facts.
Five fun facts.
The word Ewok is never said in the film, nor were the names of the individual Ewoks. Yeah. However, both appear in the credits. Next one. Ewoks were a late addition to the Star Wars mythology. Their part was to be played by the Wookiees. But by the time that Lucas and his partner sat down to write Return of the Jedi, they realized that Chewbacca could fly the Falcon, repair the ship, and operate pretty much any weapon or machine in the universe. They made the Wookiees too technologically advanced for the plot. It would have been better if it was on Kashyyyk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
The voice of Bausch, Princess Leia's bounty hunter disguise in Jabba's palace, is provided by Pat Welsh. Pat Welsh's only other voiceover work is a biggie. It's the voice of E.T.
Big in the 80s.
Yeah. I thought Deborah Winger did E.T., but I guess my fun facts prove me wrong. Number four, Harrison Ford wanted Han Solo to die in the film, sacrificing himself to save his friends. George Lucas vetoed that idea, even though Lawrence Kasdan supported it. Kasdan suggested Solo not survive being thawed in order to make the audience believe that no one was safe in the final film. Number five, two more ideas abandoned early on was A, having Obi-Wan Kenobi return from the dead. It did make its way into an early draft of the script. Second abandoned idea, there were rumors that the final scenes were to mirror the ceremony of Star Wars finale, where Luke and Han and Chewie get medals, and we also would witness the marriage of Han and Leia. A lot of Marge Simpson sisters groaning at those at those fun facts. I got Patty and Selma on line one here, Israel. All right, now let's go to the section that is ablaze today on Twitter, and that is Ask a Gutter.
Ask a Gutter. You gotta ask a gutter.
Where do I start? Bango 2331. Do you folks have a problem with the whole Death Star 2 thing? And if so, what would your plot be for a trilogy finale?
Ooh, man, I sure did have a problem with the Death Star to thing. And it's funny, I didn't have a problem with it. I think I did have a problem with it as a kid. You know, you was like, ah, oh, shit. Ain't doing that right. again. You know, so, I mean, it's, to me, it would have just been sweet if you would, you didn't have to, you could have just had a star battle without having a damn Death Star to blow up, man, because the real fight was in there with the lightsabers and all the sweet stuff. Had the dudes on the ground, just cut the whole damn Death Star, blowing every damn thing up. Just, you know, get rid of it. You didn't need it. It wasn't ominous. You didn't care. You didn't need to see these guys riding through the Death Star and coming out. You know, they just did that for flash. It didn't serve the story. It really didn't.
Yeah, I think Billy D. Williams would disagree with you because he wanted his moment in the sun.
You're goddamn right. That's all he got with him and that damn puppet next to him.
Watching the Star Cruiser crash into the Death Star was pretty cool, though.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Tiff, anything? What would you change, if anything, at all, or not?
About the Death Star?
Yeah, about that. About the question.
I don't really. That's fine. Who cares? I mean, okay. Like, it's there. That's cool.
Excellent. Next question. At Newark Knight asked for the Fans on Patrol, where does Return of the Jedi fall compared to the other two third installment films in the franchise? So basically, damn. They're asking, where does it rank against Rise of Skywalker and Revenge of the Sith?
Hey, damn. That's damn good, dude. Whoever you are, that's beautiful.
Newark Knight is always on point, Brandon.
Yeah. Damn. That was a good one.
He's got good stuff.
So you're asking me which one's the best, right?
Yeah. Of the three.
The best.
Okay.
It is the best. It's the best of the threes. I mean,
I would have hung up on you two fuckers if you had said Rise of Skywalker so fast. Your heads would have spun right out of here because that was an abortion. At Nemorovsky, he says your feeble skills are no match for the power of the sacred cow. He wants to know, would Lucas have redeemed the Ewoks by changing the victory celebration into a victory feast?
Hell no. It ain't no way to redeem Ewoks, man. You had this cool ass thing that was all dope, and then you put these damn teddy bears in there, and it ain't nothing that was cool about them. You could have put hip hop, could have had Snoop Dogg playing the last music, and it still would have sucked. No, the hell with Ewoks. I don't like Ewoks.
Yeah, we figured as much. Tiff, anything to add on that, or did he sum it up pretty well?
As a kid, I thought they were cute, so fair. I guess.
Yeah, I was 12 years old when it happened, and I was like, no, what is this shit? Yeah, and I was 12, so get out of here.
So you weren't a big fan of the Christmas special then?
yeah, I was a fan. You know why? Because in 1978, when that thing came out, or 1980, that's all Star Wars you can get in between the movies. So it didn't matter what the hell was happening. You was like, yes.
Our pal Taco Shirt Krillin wants to know, do you think Return of the Jedi is the worst in the Star Wars series, or does another movie hold that spot? Oh, come on, Taco Shirt Krillin. You goddamn know good and well.
Yeah, you mean they got all? Near,
yeah, of all yeah. 10, 11.
10?
11.
No, of course not. Of course not. It's not the worst. Right. It's got to be, it's more towards the best.
Right.
It just happens to be we're doing this thing.
It's the worst of the best.
At Lord Snurts, why is Star Wars such a beloved franchise despite its hit and miss track record? There are two good movies, one good live action show. Is he talking about the show in Disney? And a few decent cartoons and video games. Yet folks like me will eagerly line up for the latest project.
I totally disagree with him. It's just being just two good movies. I mean,
yeah.
They shit just keeps giving. I mean, and it's more than one good show, according to me. But, I mean, it's Star Wars benefits from, you know, time and phenomena. You know, there was nothing like Star Wars back in 1977. And so it, you know, people were going to the movies 47 times to see a damn movie, you know. So when does that happen? And then it
Jaws.
Yeah, well, yeah, that happened. And E.T. and Raiders of the Lost Ark. But those were blockbusters, and it was one of them. Then after that, you know, you had The Phantom Menace, which adults hate it, but... A lot of kids love it to this. You know, that's grown now.
No, they don't. No, they do not love it.
They do so.
No, I think it's universally panned now that those kids have grown up. Next one. Let's scroll. So, at Rex Crumb, I'm just going to label the attempted gutters of these two classics as commies who should be deported to Gitmo. Fair.
I can feel that.
All right. That person's got a lot going on.
At Eric 4953. Okay, guys, golden metal bikini, yay or nay?
Yay.
It was dope, dude. Yay.
best part of the whole movie.
My penis says double yay.
Of course.
No argument.
No, zero argument. At Hopper 2400, Matt Dawson, how far do you think you can kick an Ewok?
Personally, not very far.
Right.
They look kind of solid, man.
Yeah, you can
bust the costume or loaded with the person.
I mean, I got to think it's an all-inclusive in there, Kevin Israel.
I would agree. I would agree.
It's a pooch pun. It's a pooch pun right there.
I think I probably wouldn't even be able to knock him down.
All right. To fend off.
You'd be able to knock him down.
To feed off your question, how many Ewoks could you fend off in a fight? At Eric4953 again.
Maybe two or three. Maybe. No, probably one.
All right.
For me.
It depends on the landscape. If we're in an open field and I got some room, it's going to be on. But if we're in the bushes, man, it's, you're hit. You're doomed. Because they'll be everywhere like bugs. Get out of here.
At Xyphos, I haven't heard the episode yet, and I already know Fans on Patrol is right about everything. Fucking Ewoks.
Yes!
At Almighty Ray, Race to Canis. You know him, you love him, folks. Return of the Jedi started the Star Wars long turn into being aimed purely and totally at small children. Knowing that it's a movie for 8-year-olds first and foremost gives away a bit of leeway in my eyes. Yes, the Ewoks are a little lame, but that's compared to Stormtroopers, not Nicktoons. So he asks you, what character aimed at young children would you add to the Star Wars universe, and what would they do there?
Oof. A question, Tiff. You can handle this one.
You mean like a real, already real children's character?
Well, this is for your imagination, Tiff.
Oh, okay. You know what? In all honesty, I don't think it's possible to add something like that to a movie. Do you know what I mean? Like, unless it was already organically present. Like, if the movie itself lent it to that kind of extrapolation, then yes. But not like just throwing a teddy bear in there.
Dinosaurs.
Sure. Maybe something reptilian. That's actually a really good answer now that you say that.
Well, they damn dinosaurs.
They kind of did in the prequels, actually. They had some kind of dinosaur looking fuckers out there.
Mm-hmm. Throw some dinosaurs in there. And Chia's is happy.
Last and not least, So Wizard Podcast, your friends. No one will be able to convince Tiff Bot from Fans Patrol that Star Wars is good or cool. Her pure existence guts the sacred cow.
That's so fucking rude.
I read
it's not true. It's not true. I like Star Wars, just not as much as everybody else.
I say. Before we jump into it, though, Kevin Israel, we've got some business to discuss, and that's our friends over at Athletic Greens. Kevin, you love it. Why is Athletic Greens a part of your daily regimen?
Athletic Greens is a part of my daily regimen because it's a great way to kick off the day that's not an over-caffeinated drink. It's got all the vitamins, minerals, and nutrients you need to start your day. I substitute my morning coffee with it, and I got to tell you, it's a great way to start. Gut health, focus. What more could you want in the morning?
Gut health. I like how you put the gut health in a Gutting the Sacred Cow podcast. You silly son of a bitch. And it's also less than $3 a day. I mean, it's cheaper than getting a coffee, and you're investing in all-in-one nutritional insurance, lifestyle-friendly, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, keto, less than a gram of sugar. It is the best thing out there. 7,000 five-star reviews recommended by professional athletes. And look, it's a small, small, small travel pack. When you buy one order of Athletic Greens, you get 5 free travel packs with you, vitamin D, and a year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/GTSC. That's athleticgreens.com/GTSC. Bang. Kevin Israel, I think it's time to let these little Padawans unsheath their lightsabers and see if they can hop around like Yoda did in Revenge of the Sith and try and cut this puppy down. So without any further ado, it's time for the Fans on Patrol 2. Gut the sacred cow. Sounded good that time.
Oh, goodness.
You're up, folks.
Okay, so these are in no particular order, I guess. These are my list of grievances. But the first thing I want to talk about is how the Force works in this movie. It kind of is used as more of a plot device than an actual power. And the reason I say that is just because shit like they so powerful you can move C-3PO to make him look like a god, but you can't use it to just free yourself from a rope or blow up a speeder when you're having a fight in the forest or any of that shit. It just like, so like, I feel like it comes and goes as like the plot needs drama or whatever. And that bothers me.
Yeah. Fair point. I agree with you because, you know, I never really thought about that until we started talking about this. And I was like, yeah, because, you know, you can do some dope stuff when the action calls for it. But then, you know, you're on that cell barge with all those people and you're doing all the lightsaber stuff and, you know, over your head, deflecting boats. It's not coming nowhere near you, but you can't throw a bunch of them suckers off the deck. Just like, ah!
I mean, like move a planet or whatever, but, I can't, what am I going to do about this rope?
Yeah. they were tied up with some flimsy shit. That's for sure.
All right. Fair point. What else you got?
So, as a kid, you saw something as sweet and dope as Star Wars, and then Empire Strikes Back comes and just knock your ass onto the ground, and you're like, damn, what's going to happen next? And everything is cool and smooth and, you know, spacey and just beautiful. And then you walk into Jabba's Palace. And I know a lot of people, they love Jabba's Palace. Couldn't wait to see Jabba's Palace. But you walk in, and all I saw as a kid was Muppets. You know, I was like, what the hell is going on? And I tried to make it cool in my mind because I was young and it was Star Wars. So I was like, it's cool. It's cool. I like it. But I couldn't get around all the damn puppets and all the fake, you know, the goofy stuff and all the.
Well, then monsters. Did you have a problem with the Mos Eisley Cantina? Cause that's the same shit.
Yeah, but you had almost 10 years to get that shit right. And that's what you came up with was a bunch of, look, you had Mags and then you had puppets.
It regressed. It got, well, as somebody stated, like more for children, but even like the one that I rewatched for the show was the Disney Plus version. And that singer is such an abomination that it almost retroactively ruins all of Star Wars, not just this film. Do you know what I mean? It's so fucking bad. It makes me question the idea of eyeballs. Like, it's just awful.
A whole singing routine, and they thought that was cooler 10 years later.
Oh, Jesus, fuck, it's embarrassing.
It was bad,
James. That was in the 97 Redux version, because I saw all of them in the theater when they brought them, when they trotted them back out and go, I don't remember that. And
you're just like, oh, I'm embarrassed.
Wait, I had the VHS tape at home. Let me go back and watch. Oh, wait, that wasn't there. So that must mean the older version's better.
Right. Even the introduction of the Rancor, I mean, he's down there fighting this thing and, you know, this is your hero and, you know, where's the lightsaber? But
that was
silly and stupid. And, you know, and all it did is holler. You're like, what's happening? I couldn't wait for that scene to be over with. The coolest thing is when the dude started crying about the thing.
Of course, that's the best. It's very, very human. We all are like, oh, that's sad.
Yeah,
he could have used the force and shut that big ass gate on his head instead of throwing the skull at the control panel.
The force is not that strong. The force is only for floating C-3PO around.
That's a good point, Tiff. He could have. God damn it, he could have closed the damn gate before they open the gate. Close the gate. Open the gate. Close the gate. Just keep Jesus the gate closed. That would have been great.
Well, I think our next point is kind of on our, like, you can't argue against it. Are you guys ready?
Let's go. Is
that in this movie is where we find out that Luke and Leia are siblings.
Right.
So it's just proof that the plot had like not been fully developed because they don't acknowledge or retroactively try to fix the fact that they were like full on macking on each other. And even though the kiss does not occur in this movie, the ramifications of the kiss are discussed because even Han Solo still thinks that there's romantic feelings involved. And it's a glaring weakness that the film like refuses to retroactively acknowledge unless the incest was intentional.
Said that out loud.
I mean, like, that's the thing. It's like, if you're not willing to be like, if one of them doesn't vomit or one of them doesn't go, that thing that happened, or even Han Solo wasn't like, what the fuck? Then we're all just going to be like, okay, well, we Frenched and that's just fine.
Yeah, hey,
I first of all, I agree with you. And I think everybody agrees with that point. But I have to say that for them to do what you're suggesting, which was the natural thing to do, which would be to go, oh my God, like just for a moment, just to give there's none of that in any of these movies. There's no ha ha in any of the, other than some sarcasm, there's no jokes. And it's like, it almost like paper doesn't exist in the Star Wars universe. Neither do jokes. So, but for that so moment silly. To exist, it wouldn't flow with the rest of the very stoic way of Star Wars.
Well, I would disagree with that because there's a scene in this movie where an Ewok peeks into a window and it goes bah, 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 like a joke for this all. It's very silly. Like, it's an intergalactic war and there's this very silly fight scene that we have obviously for some levity. And I feel like it wouldn't even necessarily be funny because I don't think that like being like, that was pretty fucking gross, dude, is funny. It would just be like, we all know it happened and it's pretty fucking gross.
Yeah, I would have liked to see that scene though.
If there was even just like a brief moment where they both kind of frowned.
No. I would have liked to see the scene when he was talking to her outside, you know, and was like, yeah, I never knew my mama and this stuff. Yeah, you my sister. And you remember that time we kissed? Hey, don't tell nobody about that shit because that's not
don't you fucking say a word.
And then, and then the deleted scene is, oh man, remember I dropped the digit when we were swinging across that chasm in the first Death Star? No, I do.
I remember that too. Look, yeah. We ain't talking about that shit no more because we siblings.
Just like Bruno, we don't talk about that.
because in that scene, she says, I always sort of knew. Did, bitch?
No, well as if, and to belabor the point, of course, at the end of Empire, where he's hanging from that weather vane at the bottom of Cloud City, and she telepathically goes, Luke, like, oh my God, I left my keys behind. Like, Luke, kind of thing.
Kevin!
Yeah.
It's a solid case. This argument's solid.
Well, we'll see about that in about 5 minutes or so.
So, here we go.
Go ahead.
So, one thing that's always bothered me about this whole struggle between, you know, darkness and light was that, so Darth Vader, you know, we don't know if Darth Vader knew that Luke was his son. He could have been playing the Emperor the whole time. We don't know. But this guy was the brightest shining light in the whole galaxy. He didn't save, you know, planets and people, blew up the Death Star, you know, just a good boy with a lightsaber. And all of a sudden, you know, this old pimp come walking in, you know, the Emperor, and he like, you know, hey, young Skywalker, he could be a great ally. Now, okay, fine. I didn't get it as a kid. I'm like, why? You know, and Vader's like, you know, in the last movie, you know, we can turn against the Emperor. We can win. You and I, son. You know, and it's like, okay, I don't understand. You know, you strike me down and with all your anger and your journey to the dark side will be complete. How? I just killed the most evilest dude on the planet and his boy. Why do I got to become evil because I do that shit now? I don't understand it. And then, if I am evil, then why am I gonna kick it with you? I'm gonna dethrone the pimp. I'm not, both of y'all. Y'all both gotta go. Why would you want him to be evil with you? I don't understand.
Because they're always with the rule of the Sith, there is always two. If you go back all the way to episode one, they talk about there's always two. So that's why, is it gonna knock him off? Then you and I could rule, and then that's it, and we get rid of him and continue the rule of the Sith. That's the rule.
There was no rule of the Sith in when this movie came out.
I know. I'm just giving the.
It's
a makeup call from what they did. I get it, but that's like they try to kind of backpedal that with that logic. I think with episode one, like, oh, by the way, here's why they do this kind of thing.
That took you 18 years to try to fill that hole. That don't count. Y'all blew that one, man. That was some bullshit. Yeah. And again, why am I gonna kick it with the two of you punks? I'll just kill both of y'all. And I'm the most shining light in the galaxy. Why do y'all think y'all can turn me? It didn't work. So I got a problem. I've always had a problem with that. It didn't make no sense to me, man. Even now as an adult, it makes you mad when you think about it.
All right.
So the other point that I think a lot of people make about this movie that we have to talk about is the obvious introduction of the Ewoks as like a money grab because George Lucas infamously made a lot of money off of toys. Like, it's toy-rific, right? It was when you introduce like a character that just to make money off of a toy sale. And they kind of really do nothing besides be ridiculous. And like, even in like their treatment, like when she takes her hat off and he's confused, I'm like, bitch, he's wearing a hat too. Like, why is that so confusing to him? But it's just that, you know, I think that we have seen him do this. I don't want to talk about other movies because we're talking about this movie. So specifically with the Ewoks, it wasn't necessary to introduce a new planet, right? We could just have a different planet. I feel like this planet specifically was kind of weird because like we're talking about the war all over space and then there's rebels everywhere and blah, 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 blah. But like this planet is remote, right? It's a moon, right?
It's not a moon. It's a space station.
Apologies.
That's a quote. That's a quote. That's a quote.
You talk about some old shit, Jeff.
That's no moon.
That's Star Wars quote. Come on. You guys knew that. Come on.
I know that quote.
All right. Okay.
Just being
making sure.
So, you know, George Lucas infamously has made his properties worse with this action, right? Just by like being like, well, no one's going to notice if I shoehorn this bullshit in because they're going to love me so much. It's going to be fine. And that's fine. Like adding stuff to a film, if I don't notice it, I don't really give a shit. No matter how shoehorned it is in. Like if you can make a good film, I'm going to notice it or not notice it. Right. And I'm not saying this isn't a good, sorry. Like I shouldn't say that, but the Ewok's presence is bad.
Yeah.
Right.
The Ewok's presence is super bad. I didn't mind the planet. I thought the planet was dope because, you know, all you had was sand and metal before that and clouds. But the planet was cool. The speeder bikes was cool. But yeah, the Ewoks is totally unforgivable. And I get it. They wanted to do Wookiees. They couldn't afford it, you know, but and it didn't work for you for some reason.
Bullshit, they couldn't afford it. They had a $37 million budget.
Yeah, there was so many.
They had made $1 billion already.
Yeah, he always said technology didn't exist is what he says. But you had this dude in a, you know, I don't know. That's what he said. That's what he said. So, you know.
Can't be trusted. He introduced the Ewoks.
Yeah. All right. What else?
Oh, shoot. That would be on me. Or is that you? Oh, no.
Well, I have one more. So if you
go ahead, sure.
More.
No, go ahead.
I'm cool. I go back to the question that the person asked in it because it was in my thing. Another damn Death Star. I don't understand the repetitiveness. I don't get it. You could have did something else. You're a writer. Write something. Do something.
You know why they did it? Because the first one was really fucking cool. They go, let's go back to the well. That's why they did it.
Right, but why? Shit. What are you doing? Look, you could have had the Star Destroyers crash into each other like they did in that Sweet movie. You know, you didn't have to like, you know.
Like it was a Benny Hill episode. That three stories just kind of collide together.
You could
add, I don't know about that. I don't know about
lost
that.
Lost power. Well, that's what happened with the other one, right? They pushed the one in there, but it could have lost power and crashed it because they was all tight, you know.
Oh, Last Jedi. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Not the Last Jedi.
So they pushed them.
Rogue One, they pushed them, you know, with the other ship. But yeah, and there you go. So the Death Star, it's unforgivable, man. I'm sorry. And then it wasn't even finished. So, you know, so you had this great big vulnerability. So for them to drive in and then fly out, which seemed impossible to you going 1,000,000,000 miles per hour through that little.
That causes me a lot of anxiety, to be honest. Does every time I watch it, I'm just like, fuck, these people are going to die.
All right. Okay.
So for me, the most egregious point is this last point, because the plot of a movie, right? We see people grow and change, and that's the point, shit. Right?
I know where you're going. That was my last one, too.
So I know it's going too, I think.
My problem with this movie is the redemption of Vader with no evidence that he's there's no lead up. There's no like regret or thought or showing me that he's changed. The thing that happens is that like is verbalized to us in like the last few seconds. He's like, oh, actually, my son, don't kill my son, right? And then on top of that, like, so like we didn't, it's kind of like I was told, not shown, like the old, you know, you should show me, not tell me. But they told me, they didn't show me his growth in any way. I didn't see them change in any way. I didn't believe that he had changed. And then this happened. But then also on top of that, the problem is that you can commit millions of atrocities and be evil for dozens of years. Save your own son, and then all of a sudden you're back good with the Force. You're like a good Jedi again. You get to be a Force ghost and all that bullshit.
And I'm going to heaven.
Yeah, fuck off.
100%, Tiff. It never sat right with me as a kid, man. You're just sitting there like, damn, he did one good thing. And was it a good thing or was it a selfish thing? Because that was his boy. You know,
he didn't shoot C-3PO in the end of Empire, did he?
I guess he
did. He knocked the gun down and didn't shoot him.
Look, I got kids and I'll whoop my kids' ass, but you better not touch my kids. So that's all that was. That was a selfish act right there. He was beating his kid's ass. He was like, oh, shit. I told you don't yell at my kid. Picked his ass up and threw him over the ledge. It was still evil. You know? So get out of here, man.
I mean, it was more just like he was like thoughtless, an automaton almost, which, sure.
And then one thing that makes it worse is when in the newer version, they added the, no.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like it's a wrap for you guys in your argument, correct?
Yes, it does, man, because, you know, I really, I love Star Wars, man. I don't like talking bad about it. You know?
Okay, well then now the next part is you giving us both of your scores, 1 to 10 of Jedi.
Oh.
Shoot.
For me, it's a 7, probably.
Wow. A seven? And you came on here to gut this film with a 7? Holy shit. Didn't expect that, Kevin Israel, did you?
No.
I did not. No. How about you, Montego? What do you got?
It's more like a 5, man. It's Star Wars in the middle. I love it because it's Star Wars. It got a lot of cool shit, and so it's a lot about it I like. But then it's just this shit that we talked about that's just always a problem, you know.
So it's a combined 6 for fans on patrol.
Right. Okay.
You know what I should have done? I should have busted out the saber that I constructed in Star Wars Land in Disney for this episode. It's right over there. I'll go get it when I'm ready. Before we get to that, Kevin Israel, we've got more business to talk about. And that, of course, is Hydronique Hydration. Fantastic. You know what, Kevin? I think this is a fantastic product for many reasons, but one, I'm going to call it the Las Vegas reason. Why? Because this keeps you hydrated. But the reason why it was founded, the founder said that he's a frontline healthcare worker, and he found that 81% of frontline healthcare workers develop new headaches because their PPE, like their face mask and their face shield, prevented them from eating and drinking properly while on the job. He would leave work tired, dehydrated, and burnt out. This is keto friendly and healthy. And no sugar, unlike most powder drinks out there. That's why Hydronique Hydration is out there. Like I said, sugar-free, keto-friendly, plant-based, antioxidant-rich electrolyte powder packets for daily use, containing all the essential vitamins and minerals with a refreshing taste. So there are 30 electrolyte packets in a pouch, 1 month supply. Kevin, take a guess how much you think this fine product is charging for their wonderful healing powers.
30 packs, I'm going to say... $60.
No, for $39.99 on Amazon.
What a deal.
Right? And you get a coupon code when you check out. So go visit their website, hydroniquehydration.com. That's hydroniquehydration.com. It's hydration and unique mashed together. That's hydroniquehydration.com or amazon.com, where they offer a discount coupon at checkout. Kevin, would you like to take the honors, or shall I lead this baby off?
Sure. I'll jump off.
Go ahead.
So here's the thing about Return of the Jedi for me. There's 3 movies going on in Return of the Jedi. There's a really cool one, there's an okay one, and there's a terrible one. The really cool one for me is everything that happens in Jabba the Hutt story. I love that storyline. I love that they go and they rescue him. I love the whole confrontation with Luke and Jabba. I thought the Rancor was the best. I loved big monsters as a kid. So when that thing walked out, I was like, this is it. I wanted more out of the Rancor. Clearly they didn't have it, probably in the budget to, you know, have a whole dance scene with him. But
in the Redux version, they have an extended dance miss where the Rancor sings.
He was going to sing with the lady.
He does doo-wop.
But I love that whole storyline. That then the fight on the pleasure barge or whatever that was called, I thought was great. But I agree, and I really thought of it last night. It really hit me. Why didn't he have his lightsaber with him? Why did R2 have it in his head? Did he plan on getting captured? And did he plan on, because that was a terrible plan. The plan was I loved it. I loved seeing it all play out. But Luke is a terrible tactician. He's like, first I'll send in the robots. Yeah, and by the way, fuck the robots. They're gonna end up being slaves, and I might not get them back. But screw them. We don't really need them. And then he's like, that might not work. So I'm gonna send in Chewbacca, and Chewbacca is gonna do absolutely nothing. And I'm gonna send in Leia dressed in some shit just so we can sell another action figure. And then Lando's going to be there, but it's not really clear if Lando was there as part of that or on his own at first and what he's specifically doing there. And then Luke shows up and he's completely unable to do anything to Jabba the Hutt. Cause once he wasn't able to, you know, do the, these aren't the droids you're looking for, Jabba the Hutt, I mean, fucking the Emperor can shoot lasers out of his hand. Luke can't do that shit. Luke picked up a X-Wing out of the swamp.
Yeah.
He picked up an X-Wing out of the swamp. That was the baseline for his power. He could have lifted the whole thing Jabba the Hutt was sitting on and just flipped that fat slug over, and that whole part would have been done. But, and then he falls down. I just wish I really would have liked to see a lightsaber battle between Luke and the Rancor monster. I thought that would have been so much cooler. I mean, it was cool that he dies. And I do love, and I agree with Tiff, that it was like a human moment when you see the guy crying about the Rancor. It would have been nice if you saw some, like a split second of a scene that explained that relationship somehow, you know, him feeding it or something, I don't know, something, you know, petting its nose, something, just something to say, oh, he cared about it, besides just this fat slob of a guy crying over this dead slobber monster. But I still, I really do love that story. And that's also, and I also like in New Hope, that was also my favorite part of New Hope is on Tatooine. I love that kind of spaghetti Western sci-fi feel that whole scenario has. The other story that's good though, for me, not as enjoyable as that, is the whole Luke battling the Emperor and Darth Vader. This is what the whole thing was building up to. This had to happen. This is the showdown at the OK Corral. We had to see this. I don't think it never satisfies me the way I wanted it to. And it could be because Darth Vader, you don't get to see his kind of face turn, to use a wrestling terminology. Mm-hmm. He just suddenly does. And part of it, I think, is I want to blame the helmet on that. Because I feel like if you could see a character's face, and when the Emperor was like basically being like, Vader's my bitch, go do what I say. If you could see some you know, tension or some, you know, difficulty with him dealing with that in his face, you might have been able to get what Tiff was talking about, where like, oh, I see he's getting frustrated at the Emperor. I see where this is leading to, but you don't. It's just this black fucking helmet. So, you know, you just kind of have to assume it. But I mean, the battle was great, especially as a kid, the battle was great. Now that we've seen how Yoda can fight in the prequels, and we see how Jedis really could fight, it's kind of like, oh, this is disappointing. But it's still, lightsaber battles are always awesome. It's always great. And the movie had to end that way. The third movie that's going on, and that movie's almost split into two, is the Ewok bullshit and the space battle bullshit, which is all kind of tied together. The idea that the force field is generated from this planet onto the space station, also terrible planning. They couldn't have come up with a better way to create a force field than off of this planet, and why? There was no explanation as to why they had to do that on the planet to create a force field. At least they could have been like, they have the only minerals on the planet that can create that energy to create the force field, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But instead, it just sounds like terrible military planning. Like, yeah, we have this big space station, but there's a little base down there that if you blow up, we don't have any shield. So but that's not going to happen, right? No, of course it happens. And then the space battle, which, look, the Millennium Falcon to me is the greatest hero car of all time. Like, you can give me the A-Team van. You can give me
Batmobile,
Knight Rider, Batmobile, anything. Millennium Falcon takes it all. It's the greatest hero car. Yep. I love it, and I will watch any. And the only reason I like the later trilogy is for the scenes with the Millennium Falcon in it. I will watch the Millennium Falcon fly around and blow shit up all day long. But that battle just felt so tortured and so repetitive of what we'd already seen. That it was like, and you guys made the point that it just was like, just do something different. Like, come up with something different for these people to do during this whole, because I guess they were like, well, we can't have just the Jabba the Hutt scene and the lightsaber battle scene, because that movie will be 50 minutes. So we need to work in some other bullshit. And so we're going to add a village of Teddy Ruxpins running around, and that's going to be exciting. And it's just so bad. And I'm not gonna torture how horrible the Ewok storyline is. I hate everything that happens on the planet. I hate literally everything. And as cool as, and I'm a car guy, so as much as I like the idea of speed, those speed bike floaty things, whatever they're called.
Speeder bikes, yeah.
It's way outweighed by how horrible the Ewok storyline is and how ridiculous it is. And that it's just such a horrible, horrible way to try to pull this all together. What this movie does still have going for it, though, is the great cast of characters. You love these characters. They're just so iconic, and that movies still today are trying to recapture that. In fact, its own subsequent trilogies were trying to recapture the magic of these characters and fell brutally short, horribly, horribly short. But it was just such a simple It just such simple chemistry, you know, the charming rogue, the naive but promising kid, and the badass chick, and the furry muscle guy. Like, such an easy thing to put together, but it's so great. So for all of its weaknesses, this movie's still entertaining for the characters. And for me, and I Goatee's heard me rail on this forever, it's always about the characters. You could, a plot without characters is nothing for me. Like, it's almost like half of a book. Like, I would rather see great characters and a kind of shitty plot than an amazing plot and boring characters, which, by the way, that's what I call the Timothy Nolan effect. Great plot, kind of boring characters.
Christopher Nolan,
not Timothy Nolan. Although I think Tim Nolan is his brother, isn't it?
Jonathan Nolan.
No, never mind. Fuck me. So this was the end to such a powerful trilogy, but Lucas clearly saw the dollar signs. As a kid, I'm a kid of the 80s, like Kevin is. This was the most masterfully marketed toy campaign of any property ever. They made toys of everything. Like, literally, if a character was on the corner of the screen for a second, he got an action figure, and you wanted that action figure because you needed everybody who was in the cantina or was in Jabba the Hutt's palace.
My buddy had – that's pause with me. The Star Wars, the first droid that just fizzles out and blows up, and then that's where they pull out R2. Yeah. My buddy had that shitty droid.
Yep. Yeah. And it was a separate droid. It wasn't even like they sold them all together. Yep. It was a single droid you had to buy.
It was a red, yeah.
I had it, my first one.
Did you?
Jesus Christ.
My mama bought it for me. I was like, oh shit, this ain't R2, Mondo, but thank you.
Shit. I had the fucking band. I had the band.
You did?
You had the band, yeah. And he came with his little piano, the blue guy.
The girl, the elephant guy.
Yeah, I had them. What? I would just have them set up, like, and they couldn't do anything.
Here's Kevin. Here's Kevin by himself in the basement going, do, 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 do,
do, do, do, do, do, do, do. So, I mean, look, Lucas knew the cash cow that he was riding, and Jedi was definitely the result of all those dollar signs being thrown at him. And while in the trilogy, I think it is clearly the weakest, it's still like being a Ferrari slower than a Lamborghini, but it's still a pretty fucking awesome car. And so the Return of the Jedi is the Ferrari to New Hope's and Empire's Lamborghini for me. So for me, this movie will always be an 8.
Woo!
Boy.
Mm. Woo!
What's Empire and what's Star Wars for you? Those numbers.
Empire is a 10 for me. I will watch Empire. I mean, it's not even a question.
You're gonna watch all three of these at any time. So I have to watch it.
But you know what? I won't watch all of
Jedi.
Return of the Jedi.
What's like Star Wars number?
Star Wars is like an 8.5. There are parts where it's a little slower, but I love the beginning of Star Wars. I love the entire everything that takes place on Tatooine. I fucking love. Right.
I go Star Wars 9.5, Empire 8.5, and then we're gonna find out what I think about Jedi. These notes brought to you by guttingthesacredcow.com, where you find all of our sweet merch. And of course, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com if you want to say hi, or more importantly, want to advertise with us. Like you've heard, there are already two advertisements here today. And by the time this airs, the live show will already happen. So guttingthesacredcow.com and subscribe to us on YouTube. Notes. As the movie starts, that first chord hits you right in the goddamn taint, and that sends shivers up my butthole every single time. The opening music when Vader lands is top notch. It is perfect tone setter. I've seen this movie I don't know how many goddamn times, and every time I need to pause and go, is that Gary Sinise talking to the Darth Vader about how you have to be on schedule? Because that sure shit looks like Gary Sinise. Whomever designed Bib Fortuna's character must have recently watched a documentary on brain tumors. The only thing missing from Jabba the Hutt is a Rascal scooter, Mountain Dew, and an Earnhardt Forever t-shirt. Want to watch grown men make silly face, slack-jawed faces? Go stand in line at the Millennium Falcon Smuggler Run in Disney World, where I especially walked around going, Because that Falcon thing is so cool. One of the studios I do voiceover work at has a life-size carbonite sculpture of Han Solo that is autographed by Harrison Ford. I ask every time I go in for work, how much? And the guy always says, I'm telling you everything. I'm telling you what I tell everyone else who asks about this. No fucking chance am I selling this.
Wow.
The added song by Jabba's band in the Redux version of is 2 minutes of my life that I demand back. Post haste. Salacious Crumb, the rat that's in between Jabba's tail, looks like every guy who mouthed off in a group fight but never threw a punch. Luke Skywalker still holding on to that Fisher-Price toy haircut. It's like he's trying to still go for the Prince Adam / He-Man cut, but the barber fell short in his attempt. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, my first boner, Princess Leia in a metal bikini. Boys and girls, you have just witnessed Kevin Goatee's first. Daddy, why is my penis getting so hard? How did you guys not talk about this? Do you remember how awesome the game of Return of the Jedi was on Super Nintendo? Holy shit. And the arcade version, you could throw your lightsaber around, which you didn't do in the fucking movie. The arcade version was pretty cool, too. Speeder bikes and blowing up the Death Star. Add wash, rinse, repeat. The sail barge Sarlacc scene is so badass. You get the green lightsaber and one of Princess Leia's butt cheeks. I am floored that three of you missed this one. I've said it a million fucking times in this podcast, and I'm going to say it for the last. Boba Fett is the most overrated character in the history of cinema and the most overrated character in this franchise. He does nothing but fly Han Solo away in Empire and goes out like a complete bitch in Jedi. Enough for the love of Boba Fett. He's as meaningful to this story as Steven Seagal was in the movie Executive Decision.
You still look cool.
How about the scream when he falls into the pit? That guy's gonna get his own series.
Still looks cool. Isn't that embarrassing? The Emperor's theme in Jedi is one of the most top 10 sinister songs or scores in film history. You can listen to that at any time and go, God damn, that's still good. If I had to ever sketch Joan Rivers' vagina, it would look exactly like Yoda's head. Man, between this and Back to the Future, the 80s sure loved having incestual themes, didn't they? Nice of Ben and Yoda to slow play Leia of being Luke's sister. That would have been nice before they started locking lips, or hell, even training her to be a Jedi and helping her fight, dumbasses. And I'm surprised you boys and girls missed on this one. Here's my biggest problem with this film. Kevin Israel, you're 100% right about the characters. That's why Quentin Tarantino's films are fantastic. Characters in this film, also fantastic. One character had a big problem with this film, Han Solo. Why? Because he's not Han Solo in this film. He's not near as playful, sarcastic, or cocky. He is moonwalking his robotic ass through this film the entire way and is way too gruff. Nowhere near that lovable scamp we fell in love with in the first two films. What a waste of Han Solo in this film. If the speeder bike scene doesn't get you going in this film, nothing will. That shit was so badass, and I was dying to get to that level in Return of the Jedi for a Super Nintendo to fly those speeder bikes in. Oh, so good. My biggest problem with the second biggest problem in the film is not with the Ewoks, but the amount of time that is devoted to them. And I agree with all your points. We all know it's a shitty cash grab, but here's the problem. They focus way more on them than why the reason we all paid money to go sit in that theater and see it. The film is based on four characters in all three of these films: Han, Leia, Luke, and Vader. That is who the focus should be on 85% of the time, especially since this was the final of the series. We deserved more camera time with those characters that we treasure and love. Speaking of the toys, remember the Ewok village, Kevin Israel? They even had the goddamn cargo net in there.
Yep.
Tiff kind of took my ammo on this one. So Luke and Han have faced, I wrote this down, blasters, lightsabers, and cannon fire. But they throw their hands up and surrender to a bunch of Teddy Ruxpin knockoffs holding sharpened rocks at the end of sticks. Got it. All right. Leia's been missing for about 6 to 8 hours when her speeder bike crashes, right? And her hair magically grows to Rapunzel length. Where can I get that Ewok Rogaine to cover up my bald spot, please? Leia plays it way too fucking cool for me when Luke tells her that Vader is also her father. See, if someone's going to say that shit, I would expect more of a Spanish telenovela. Ay, Dios mío! Instead, she's like, oh, okay, gotcha. All right, not you know, it's not a good day, but all right, whatever. What a matter-of-fact way to relearn that. You tongue-kissed your brother. The tension between Luke, Vader, and the Emperor is palpable and perfect. The push and pull of Vader's emotion with Luke is great. Another character, Nien Num, the co-pilot of the Falcon in this film. Whomever designed him must have just eaten a roast beef sandwich or just watched a gangbang video. I don't know which one. His face looks like a giant pussy for all those who can't put that together.
I was right there with you.
The Ewok dying, the singular Ewok dying in a battle where lasers are flying aplenty. One person dying, Ewok dying. Touching, but nowhere near the level of when Optimus Prime died in the Transformers cartoon film, because that shit has still scarred my soul. I see what you did, George Lucas, you clever son of a bitch. The Y-Wing pilot who gets shot down looks Asian. And then he kamikazes right into an Imperial starship. Got it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The Emperor Vader Luke act alone is worth 1.5 points on this scale. When Luke gets baited by Vader by threatening to go after his sister, brilliant. Why does Vader's head, when he takes his helmet off, look like it was eaten by a bunch of zombies?
It does.
what happened? Did Salacious Crumb get to his head too? Jesus. I did like the recent scenes where they added the celebrations of all the cities after they blew up the Death Star. Unlike that colossal piece of shit, Rise of Skywalker, where they all high-fived like they were at a junior college graduation and had a forced same-sex kiss that had no context. I did loathe no. And of course, the 2 minute song and dance version, the I don't know what the hell that was, but that was hot trash.
Yep.
That's it. Did Vanilla Ice get that and put that and incorporate that into Ice Baby? All right. This film is still quite solid. Yes, there are some scenes that drag. You are right, Kevin Israel. The Forest Endor scene, oh man. Besides the speeder bike part, I was like, ugh. You all bring up fantastic points, especially Tiff and the lack of force capabilities exhibited by Skywalker. So you have done what not many people have done, and that is get me to drop my score. It is now a 7 out of 10 instead of a 7.5 out of 10. This film is still great. This film is still very watchable. There are definitely warts. And it does drag in parts. But like Israel said, the sail barge part, I'm all in. And that last act, I am doubly all in. That music, everything is perfectly set. But that middle third, Jesus Christ. It's after watching it again, I've seen this, I don't know how many times, close to 100. It is just, 7 out of 10. Good job, folks. But I can't believe that you gave it an 8 and you're on this podcast trying to tell us it's overrated. Hilarious. Let's see what those asshole blowhards who demand that Fruitvale Station wins Best Picture every year. Critics, 5-star reviews.
5-star reviews. 5-star reviews by critics.
The Return of the Jedi offers enough moments that is not only fitting entry into the franchise, but what was thought of the time as a fitting conclusion to it as well. It's well constructed, tonally in spirit, and hugely enjoyable, but the Force simply isn't as strong in this one. Definitely more good than bad. The opening and big Luke Vader Emperor showdown are great. It just has some weaker elements that drag the overall experience down. Return of the Jedi, the final act of George Lucas's first Star Wars trilogy, is the best one yet.
What?
I agree with 3 of the 4 of those. Critics, 1-star reviews.
Critics, 1-star reviews. Critics, five-star reviews.
Sorry.
That's fine. You can get it. We encourage laughter in this podcast.
I'm already excited about these one-star reviews.
These are all sorts of hints in the latest escapade, notionally directed by Richard Marquand, that we are meant to be taking it seriously. The problems with Jedi cannot be fixed even with the best digital software in the galaxy. The weak story, the bad performances, the burp jokes, and Luke's bizarre-looking hair mop. With its feints at horror and pathos, the third Star Wars film is the most Disney-esque in its emotional outline, yet that outline is buried beneath an obnoxiously hyped-up pace that reduces the emotions to rubble. And my favorite critic's one-star review, Chewbacca doesn't have enough dialogue.
Always been the problem with these movies.
Although he didn't shut up in episode 3, though. That's true. Amazon, 5-star reviews.
Amazon, 5-star reviews.
My children are dictating this review. This is their favorite movie of all the existing in 2018 movies. They love the way the characters relate to each other, far better than 5. As children, they find it empowering to see small, rather sweet, simple creatures help bring down the Empire. The only part they do not like seeing, is Leia as a sexual slave. They really hate that. But Leia overall is much better in 5. In six, she has some good ideas, is a good fighter, and is much more empowered and smart. Something tells me that this lady doesn't have boys as children.
That didn't happen.
Right? No, mommy, the patriarchy's keeping her down in this episode. Not as good. Fuck you. This movie is incredible. I still love it, even in full screen version. And even with those annoying Ewoks, all right, they do save the day in the Battle of Endor. They're cute and cuddly, but everybody seems to forget they're going to eat Luke, Leia, Han, and Chewie for dinner. I would have never turned my back on one of those things, ever. Don't care how cute and cuddly they are. Next one. No damage. Okay.
What?
So someone's right about the Blu-ray or DVD copy. So they give it no damage. Okay. My favorite all-time movie, Luke Becomes Awesome. Mind Games in the Throne Room. Could do without the Ewoks, but being set in coastal Redwoods makes up for it. Signed, the head of Chamber of Commerce in Redwoods, California. And, the doozy of the doozies, Jar Jar Binks is still annoying. Why do some aliens feel like offensive racial tropes? My answer is maybe they flew a Spirit airline for a cross-country trip. You never know. Amazon, 1-star reviews.
Amazon, 1-star reviews. Here come the Amazon, 1-star reviews.
Well, I love the movie, as it is not only my favorite Star Wars movie, but also my favorite movie of all time. Unfortunately, I hate the edit where Darth Vader shouts, "No!" as he tosses Palpatine down the Death Star reactor shaft. James Earl Jones is one of the greatest voice actors of all time, but one thing he's not good at is shouting, "No." Something tells me that this guy's wife is shouting "No" when he asks for weekly sex. Purchased this because it specifically said theatrical version, but it's the one with Force Ghost, Hayden Christensen, and the new music at the end. The description is misleading. Now I need to figure out if I can get my $20 back.
Damn, $20. Oh, damn.
I want to cancel this order as I made it by mistake. This was posted as a $19.47 charge on August 14th, 2018. Thank you. The kids liked it. Adults tolerated it. Tried to cancel order minutes after ordering. Was not allowed to cancel and get refund. Claimed I had watched the film or it was after 24 hours. Not true. Can't see how to place requests for help.
Not true. 1-star.
If you guys ever want
to... This isn't customer service?
Yeah. What? Hello, Jeff Bezos, please. If you two ever want to go down a rabbit hole of hilarity, I highly advise you go down the Amazon one-star reviews. It is a it like the Jellies of the Month Club in Christmas Vacation. It's the gift that keeps on giving, Clark.
I never knew this existed. This is
Oh
yeah, it's a treasure trove.
Someone just got unplugged from the Matrix. Hey, Kevin Israel, did Montego Bradley and Tiff gut the sacred cow?
You guys were awesome to have on, and I loved you. You made awesome points, and I agreed with almost everything you said, but I don't think this movie was gut. Number one, because you gave it a combined 6 in a score, but mostly because I think the movie's just such a powerhouse of a movie. And it, you look, like Kevin said, there are warts, but we love it, warts and all. And you, it's just that kind of movie, like, you know, and especially seeing what happened in all the subsequent movies that were made after this, the prequels, and then they never were able to capture the magic of these original three. So even if Return is considered the weakest of the three, it's still a fucking really strong movie.
That's like having your third kid not be as smart as the first. So you still love that little bastard, but you know, you can't throw him away. But I listen, you're right. The first three are the best. I will go on the limb and say, well, Rogue One is fantastic. No one's going to fight me on that. But I will go to bat and say Revenge of the Sith is the next best after all those. Ooh. I love Revenge of the Sith. I think it's great. I love it.
I say Empire, then I say Rogue One. I like that so much better.
Well, no. I'm saying the first three and then Rogue One. Then after that, it's Revenge of the Sith. Yeah, the first three and Rogue One are great. This is Revenge of the Sith is 5 for me. And then you can fight out the rest. Actually, no, you don't have to fight out the rest. It's easy. Phantom Menace is the worst. Rise of Skywalker is second worst. And then you guys can, again, that's where you can throw it all in a pot. Actually, episode 2.
Pot of cold?
Yo, listen. The second half of 2 is decent. The first half sucks. The second half of 2 is fucking good. The whole gladiator battle scene and all that shit, where they go and they find the plans, that's good. The first half is garbage.
Totally unforgivable, though, when you see those Jedi in the back swinging at the same droid 5 or 6 times in silence, because they I can't unsee that. You just keep swinging. Just keep. And what the hell are they doing back there? It's not good. I'm sorry.
So, Montego, Tiff, why don't you shout out what you're up to, where we can find you, all that good stuff.
Tifflebot, that's your job.
All right. So our main hub is fansandpatrol.com, and then we're on social media at fansandpatrol on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and you can listen to us on your favorite listening platform and subscribe to our YouTube. Check out our Patreon.
Fantastic. Great. Good job, Kevin Israel.
First of all, leave us a 5-star rating and a couple sentence review on your podcast platform of choice. Every week, our Captain Kevin Goatee likes to highlight some of them, and we love reading your thoughts on our podcast, especially when it's about how much you love it. So do that for us. It helps us. It helps with this crazy algorithm, and it just makes us happy. So isn't it worth it? And if you have some extra time, check out kevinisrael.com for my upcoming stand-up comedy dates. I'll be touring around, and you can get my album The Struggle is Real on iTunes and everywhere else you get audio stuff.
KevinGoatee.com for shenanigans, debauchery, tomfoolery. I don't know what all that means, but it sounds fun. Patreon.com/GTSC, where you get to have Kevin Israel and I give you our That Doesn't Happens quotes, movies that we've seen, trailer talk, all that good stuff, for just $5 un mes. So $5 a month gets you all that on the Patreon. And of course, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com to say hi or want to advertise with us, and guttingthesacredcow.com. Fans on Patrol, you guys were fantastic. You came prepared. I like the duality here. You guys came with a nice prong attack. You made us concede a couple points. Fantastic job. We thoroughly enjoyed having you. And we will see everyone else next week. Take care. Bye.